Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John. We resume our study of the civil trial of the Savior in John chapter 18. Today, Pontius Pilate plays the leading role. He held the office of procurator for 10 years, beginning in 26 A.D. And before we continue with verse 33 of chapter 18, allow me to say a few things about Pilate, which I think may be of interest to you. We have limited background on this prominent governor of Judea, but we do know that he married a woman named Claudia Procula, and she was related to the royal family. Perhaps that's why he got his appointment as the governor of Judea. Although not much else is known about his past, we can learn something about this man's character from the New Testament record. For example, in Luke's Gospel, we are informed that he was involved in the death of some Galileans. And I'm referring to Luke chapter 13, verse 12. It says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you not.'" Unfortunately, there's nothing in the historical record to tell us about this incident. But it's in the Bible, so we know it happened, and Jesus was aware of it. Evidently, some of the Galileans had some kind of a sacrifice going on, which enraged Pilate, and he decided to kill some of those people and mix their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. And what does this incident tell us about the man Pilate? It tells us that he was ruthless. He didn't care about whether people were conducting a religious service or not. He sent his troops in there and slaughtered those people. Yes, he was ruthless and he was merciless. He has also been described as obstinate and inflexible. The account of the trial of Jesus suggests also that he was very concerned about his reputation back in Rome. He feared that the criticism of the Jews might get back to Rome and that he might be recalled by the emperor. And the Jews knew that too, because we will be reading about them saying, "If you let this man go, you're not a friend of Caesar's." That put fear into Pilate's heart, so you can see something about the character of this man. He apparently was well-educated and a very effective speaker. He, above all others in the Bible, with the exception of Jesus and perhaps with the exception of Paul the Apostle, has gone down in history for making significant statements that almost everybody in the world knows about. He uttered most of them at the trial of Jesus. Here are some of them. Pilate said, "What is truth? Behold the man. Behold your king. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And, "What I have written, I have written." I suspect that Pilate, because of expressions like these, had a very fine mind, and judging by these statements, I would guess that he was probably an orator at one time back in Rome before he came to Judea. He had the ability to coin a phrase, to give one-liners, as we say, that have meaning. Now the question is, why did Jesus carry on such a lengthy dialogue with Pilate as compared with Caiaphas, for example, which dialogue covered only 2 verses in this chapter? Then there was Herod, to whom Jesus was sent by Pilate. And what did Jesus have to say to Herod? Here it is in Luke chapter 23, verse 8. "Now Herod was very glad to see Jesus, for he had waited to see him for a long time, because he had been hearing about him and was hoping to see some sign performed by him. And he questioned him at length. But he answered him nothing. Jesus said nothing. What a contrast with Pilate. He talks to this man, Pilate. He carries on a conversation, a lengthy conversation. And that's what we are studying here in our lesson today. And we'll read that conversation here shortly, but why did Jesus give so much attention to Pilate or discuss things with him at length as he did? Did he find in Pilate perhaps a sensitivity that held out hope for this man? Remember, Jesus could look into the heart and minds of people and know what was going on. He knew their past, and he could know their thoughts. Remember the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? Jesus knew all about her past. He knew about the 5 husbands she had had, and he also knew that she was living with a man that was not her husband, and she was amazed and concluded that he must be a prophet. That just is an example of how Jesus knew everything. He also knew when the Pharisees asked the question whether they were being sincere or whether they were trying to trap him. He also knew the problems that his apostles were having about some of the things that he taught. And that comes out in the text quite clearly. Now I bring these things up because we need to continue to emphasize that Jesus is not a mere man. There are too many people today, including scholars, who compliment Jesus. They show respect to him, but not as deity. They treat him as a religious leader, perhaps a brilliant religious leader and a very wise man, but they fall short of saying that he is the Son of God. And of course, if he is the Son of God, he does know everything. Deity knows everything. May I say this? The Jesus of the Bible is God the Son. He's nothing less than deity, the one promised by the Old Testament prophets, and the one who came here and claimed that he came from heaven, that he would come here to die, and he would return to the Father and to his former glory. That's the Jesus of the Bible. The Bible knows no other Jesus, and anyone who gives him any other kind of a role than that is not teaching the Bible. Now, I have concluded that perhaps Jesus talked so much with this man because he was an approachable person, and that tells you something. You might not feel free to go up to someone and ask them a question. Some people keep themselves too far away from us. They're too distant or too private. But I see Pilate as being approachable because of the fact that his wife took the liberty to send him a message in the middle of the trial with Jesus, and the message had to do with the dream that she had. That's recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. It says, "And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him.'" He got that message, and it must have shaken him somewhat. Now consider what kind of a person this wife must be, because of this note that she sent him. Claudia apparently was a very sensitive person. She was greatly affected by the dream and seemed compelled to warn her husband about Jesus. Perhaps she was sensitive to spiritual things to cause her to respond like this. Now, if this evaluation of mine is true, it may also tell us something about Pilate, for what kind of a woman would Pilate marry? Did he see in her this spiritual sensitivity that might perhaps fill a void in his own life? Maybe down deep he was hungering for something, and perhaps that's why Jesus carried on the conversation with him. But I must say this is mere speculation. We're just trying to read between the lines to see what's going on here. But of course, this is not scripture, so it may not be worth very much, but we would like to know why he talked with Pilate, but he would not talk with Herod at all. Now let's go to the text, John 18, verse 33. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered him, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Pilate said to him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Now, why did he ask him if he was the king of the Jews? Well, we answered that in a previous lesson, because Luke tells us that the Jews accused him of claiming to be a king. Well, Jesus answered Pilate with a question of his own, because Pilate's question could not be answered with a mere yes or no without leading to some misunderstanding. Let me explain. If the question was a result of Pilate's concern that Jesus was really a king, then a yes answer would be understood to be a threat to Caesar's throne. So Jesus asked the question, "Are you saying this of your own accord, or did others say it about me?" And by others, he probably is referring to the Jews, of course, who said that he claimed to be the king of the Jews, in the sense of being the Messiah, a king like the Old Testament talked about. His kingdom, however, would differ from Caesar's kingdom. So there are two interpretations to the question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" One is a threat to the empire, and the other is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Rome ruled the world by a sword, but that's not the kind of a king Jesus claimed to be. We'll have to continue this interesting conversation that Jesus had with Pilate in our program Monday. I hope you'll join us here. Are you a Sunday school teacher, or perhaps leading a Bible study? If so, you may be interested in knowing that the Radio Bible Course has teaching tapes which will help you in those projects. We have some 25 short courses on cassette tape. Most of them are verse-by-verse exposition of the New Testament epistles. You can get a free list of these teaching tapes by writing to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for teaching tapes. These broadcasts are made possible by the support of listeners like you. The Radio Bible Course is a ministry of volunteer laypersons in Baton Rouge. No funds are used for salaries or benefits to anyone. Until next week, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.